Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. Happy 2016. The great thing about what we're doing is that we're doing it all over the world. I think, you know, there are many things about the internet that can be said, but in our particular case right now, whether it's in San Francisco or New York or in Tel Aviv or in Italy or in Hungary or in Russia or in Tokyo, the world has become very, very small and people are listening all over, and they've been very kind and written all kinds of things, all kinds of notes. And the great thing here is that we get to share something very, very special. And of course, that's the voice. When I began writing my book in 1996, right after I lost my beautiful daughter, Aviva Hope, I had no clue and I couldn't possibly imagine that today was going to be what it is. Basically, I started writing because she wanted me to, and she felt that it was absolutely necessary that I share outside my studio with the people all over the world what I know and what was given to me. And so I began writing The Voice, A Spiritual Approach to Singing, Speaking, and Communicating. And the first book basically came out in 1999. And before it was published, I had an offer to make it as part of a dummies theory book called Singing for Dummies. And I probably could have made a lot of money on Singing for Dummies. I didn't agree to the change in the title because I said that the people who are going to read my book and the people who are going to delve into the voice on the level that I teach it had to come in a different way. They had to come with a different attitude. They had to come with an open heart. They had to come with an open mind. They had to be in a different place. That doesn't mean that they are not pop singers or they're not opera singers or they're not jazz singers, blues singers. That has nothing to do with it when we talk about the spirituality of the voice, but it has all to do with how we look at the instrument, how we perceive the instrument, how we work with the instrument, and how we realize that that instrument is not at our disposal. Meaning, yes, the instrument is housed inside your body. That is why it's extremely dependent on your body. Which means also that if you're not in a good mood, that if you're not feeling well, that if you're emotionally, psychologically not in a place where the voice can be used to its maximum, then you are not going to give 100% to the voice, and the voice can't have 100% of you. very interesting thing is that what I teach demands in total that everything else go away and that the space for the voice is completely for the voice. That means if you're singing or if you're vocalizing, if you're preparing for a concert, and you had a bad day, or you had a fight with your spouse or with your girlfriend, or you had trouble with the car, whatever comes up during the day, all of a sudden it's time for a performance, and you have to concentrate. You have to completely go into yourself. You have to completely go into the instrument, and you have to be prepared on every possible level to allow the instrument to express itself. Believe me, I've taught hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students internationally. And at many, many different levels. And the truth is that each and every one that I've ever taught before a performance, in some way, shape, or another, prays. Now, this is not going to be 45 minutes worth of discussion of how to pray, what to pray, whom to pray to. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is that the necessity of something greater than yourself is necessary in order for you to be able to connect to the voice. I once knew someone with an extraordinary instrument, someone that I was very close to, who used to run around and who was so enamored and so in love with his voice that he said, "Nothing can possibly happen to me. I am God. My voice is godly." And I always used to say, as quickly as you have it, quickly as you can lose it, and remember who gave it to you can also take it away from you. I'm religious. I'm Jewish. And I follow the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and I pray. Pray in a very special way every day, and I feel that I need that for my soul, and I need it to give my students the absolute utmost. That means every single student, every single hour of every single day. And if I'm not there for some particular reason, and that happens very, very rarely, I cancel my lessons. People go out and sing in front of an audience, using their voices when they are totally and completely not in a place where you can even attach yourself to some kind of spirituality, some kind of other than yourself, above yourself place. There are two places in the body. One of them is called slavery, and the other is called God space. In my vocabulary, in what I teach, slavery is the throat. The throat holds you back. The throat puts you into a box. The throat demands that you use a physical force. We talked about this last week. In order to bring out a sound, in order to bring out a word, in order to manipulate the instrument into getting you what you want. This manipulation is slavery. You are enslaved by the instrument to give it, or to try to give it, what it needs. And at a certain point, when you enslave something, you lose it. You lose the love. You lose the caring. You lose the freedom. And the throat literally takes away your freedom. Why? Because at every given moment, you need to be sure that what it is that you're doing inside the throat is appropriate for the sound, for the word, for the interpretation that you're giving or that you're looking to bring out. When you're enslaved, you can't be free to soar. You can't be free to fly. You can't be free to allow yourself to go into places where that same freedom that you feel emotionally and psychologically is then translated into the freedom of sound, the freedom of the voice, the height, the beauty, the vibrations, the effortlessness. That freedom comes from a different place, can only come from that place, because what's inside the throat, just as far as the place is concerned, is already from the onset constriction. And constriction is discomfort. You're uncomfortable in that place. And after a while, when you are grinding and grinding and grinding and pushing against that poor instrument, your vocal cords, they're going to feel it. If a people is enslaved, if you're in a relationship that enslaves you, that doesn't allow you the freedom to express yourself, you're going to walk away from it. You're going to run away from it. You're going to say, I just can't take this anymore. It's more I can handle. And in fact, the throat, the vocal cords, the larynx are more than you can handle. There are people who can do this for quite a while. They have a very long rope. There are other people, instruments that are much more sensitive, need much more attention, that simply won't function. Then there is another place, and that is the place that I call God space. Inside that place, there is an infinite amount of room, an infinite amount of space, an infinite amount of vibration, an infinite amount of air, because there is absolutely nothing that obstructs it, and an infinite amount of potential, because it sits inside the place of potential. There is only one place of potential inside the body, and that, of course, is in your brain. And in that place, you can hear the voice. You can hear your inner voice. Today I was working with a student, and he said to me, "Well, I learned this piece of music listening to Pavarotti. Am I supposed to hear Pavarotti's voice in my head?" And I said, "Well, while you're learning and while you're putting something into the voice," which is a very interesting phrase that we're going to delve into in the future. When you put something into the voice and you learn it, then of course you have in mind the voice of the person that you're learning it from. That's if you don't read your own music, that's if you don't do your own solfège, that's if you're not working with a pianist, and you're not on your own doing it, but you're listening to somebody else, and most singers do that. So you're still listening inside for a while to the other person's voice until you're sure of what it is that you're actually knowing. Once you have your own knowledge of the words, of the sounds, of the movement, of the interpretation that you want to attach to each word, then you begin to fathom, to hear, to connect to your own voice, to your own space, to your own potential, to your own internal listening and internal hearing. What is that internal listening and internal hearing that you're then going to follow and that you're then going to make part of your spiritual self, if you will? The whole conversation of the inner voice, also a conversation of the external voice, because where we are and what the voice, a spiritual approach to singing, speaking, and communicating, the Kabbalah of the voice teaches, is how to connect, not how to create your voice, but how to connect to what is already inside your holy space. And every person has a holy space. And that holy space, that spiritual space, that inner voice space is called God's space, and that's the brain. Now, the brain is infinite potential, as we said. For instance, interesting question, and I'm not talking to students and ladies and gentlemen who are listening from Greece. It's an example. To the rest of the world, do you speak Greek? No. However, do you have the potential of being able to speak Greek? Yes, of course. Where is that potential? That potential is not in your throat. That potential is not in your chest. That potential is not in your vocal cords. That potential is not in your heart. That potential is inside the brain. So, for a couple of weeks, you're going to Greece, and it's surprising and exciting how you pick up words in a language. You hear them, they create a picture inside your mind, and then from that place, deep inside your God space, you create a place for that particular word, for those words, for that language, and then when you need it, there it is, coming right out of your mouth. However, most of everybody I know, unwittingly, speaks in their throat as well. And what we said before, and it's worth repeating 1,000 times, is that speaking and singing is in the same place, uses the exact same instrument, is created, quote unquote, exactly in the same place. Well, that place is your thought. That place is your knowledge. That place is God's space. That place is the brain. If you just sit down and you just close your eyes, and you just for 1 second think about what we're talking about right now, you will understand that in a moment's time, you can connect to that space just by thinking about it. Just by listening to my voice and hearing my voice and seeing my sounds and my words inside your God space. This is not meditation, even though it's a form. If you want to call it meditation, I don't like to call it meditation because to me it really isn't. You're very, very much conscious and you're very much in control of what you're doing without controlling. Now, there is a huge difference between being in control and controlling. When you are inside your throat and when you must worry about every single sound and make sure that there is a vibrato in the voice and that the jaw is dropped enough to bring out a large sound, that vowels are made inside your mouth and the mouth is drawn and large. That is control. And that is exactly what we don't want for the instrument. Yet we want the control without the physical controlling. The physical controlling, I just explained to you, is what you need to do in the throat. The real control, however, the true control, is where it all happens, where it all comes together, where it all is making itself instantly, in a moment, in a second, in a nanosecond. It's there, and that's how quickly it has to come out. Meaning, if you have to think about where is it coming from, how will I produce it, I'm scared of that note, or I can't do that note, or, oh, I forgot the words, then you're definitely not in the right space. Very important thing to mention at this point. People who think they are tone deaf, or people who are told that they are tone deaf, and I know many, 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 many people that have come to me because they were told that they should never open up their mouth, not even in the bathroom, not even in the shower, never, never, because they are so off pitch and they are so not in tune. And they are so not connected. Because those same people, once we reconnect the instrument to its source, become somebody completely different. And the sounds that they actually perceive inside their minds are the sounds that will then actually come out. I once had a student, very, very, very famous, very well known, who had just come out with his first album, big, gigantic success, and his musicians were absolutely crazed because he was constantly off pitch. Do something. The guy is constantly off pitch. We began working and we reconnected that voice to its source, to God's space, to where it all happens, inside the brain, where the actual performance really takes place. And within a very short period of time, he was completely on pitch. Why? Because what he actually heard inside, quote-unquote, his head, is what then came out when he was speaking his sounds. Now, I'm not saying when he was singing his sounds, because there is no such thing as singing sounds. There is only speaking the sounds that you actually hear. And with your intention, which is, again, a mental process, you decide, now I am going to sing what I hear and what I want to bring out, instead of speak what I want to bring out. The instrument is the same, except more of it, which is something that we build, which is not something that we scream and not something that we invoke from slavery and not something that we press and force and bang and belt, but it's something that we build with a very, very powerful foundation that is called the brain. Many people will understand very well what I'm saying, and it will make absolutely incredible sense to them, but they won't know how to actually connect to that place. How do you do this? How do you get out of the throat? How do you get out of slavery and go into a place where you can actually do no more than think and speak the sounds you actually perceive? Your perception of the voice has to change, just as the place where you are demanding that the voice come out, that the voice give you what you want it to provide for you. We make our lives very much simpler than that. And actually, it's quite easy. But there is a difficulty. And that difficulty lies in past habits, lies in the things that you hear around you, that you hear said by other people, taught by other teachers. You hear it from other singers. 2 weeks ago, one of my students had a big concert. I was singing in theater, and a tenor came over to him and said to him, "Listen, how do you do that? How do you do those sounds that the orchestra is never covering you, that you're always above the orchestra, and the orchestra drowns me out?" My student looked at him and he said, "I just do what my teacher teaches me." And one of the things that this teacher teaches is you don't discuss what we do in our lessons with anyone, because every single person has their own perception of exactly what I am saying to them. Every person perceives what I write in their own way. I don't know how many hundreds of letters I have with people asking me questions, and I'm looking at this and where is this coming from? That's not what I write. And how many students are being told by teachers, oh, I teach what Miriam Arman teaches. And when they come to me, there is absolutely no connection between what I teach and what they actually come up with. So what are we talking about, and why is it so important? The answer to everything that we just discussed is sheep. You heard me. Sheep. What's the story with sheep? What does sheep have to do with the voice? And what does sheep have to do with spirituality? And what is she talking about? Sheep is an animal that depends on its shepherd. And where the shepherd leads it, that's where the sheep will go. And the sheep knows that the shepherd knows exactly where to graze it. It knows exactly where the water source is going to be. And knows exactly that the shepherd will never, ever lead it astray. And when it strays, if it strays, and if it runs, and if it loses its way, it also knows that the shepherd is going to come after it and is going to find it, bring it back to the flock, take care of it. And that is what we're talking about when we speak about our way of working. Because of what we learn, and because of our spiritual connection that is also between my students and myself, between my books and my students and myself, because of the knowledge that we impart, because of the way we look at and perceive the instrument, because of the respect that we have for the instrument, because of the way we see things within the instrument and connect to the instrument, that puts us into a different category than anybody else. We don't listen the same way. My students, after the first 3, 4, 5, 6 lessons, they'll come to me and they'll say, I can't listen to what's out there anymore. I hear the throat. I hear the incredible breathing that goes on. I can't listen to that anymore. It's too low. It doesn't have the brilliance. It doesn't stimulate me. It doesn't give me what I'm looking for, what I want to hear when I'm listening to music. And again, what I'm telling you has nothing to do with opera. It has nothing to do with only classical music. It has to do with somebody like Tony Bennett, who at the age of 84 can do things that people at 24 can't do. Somebody like who just had this incredible concert, Diana Rigg? No, don't remember exactly, but I read about it and I heard it, and it's just phenomenal. Why? Because these people at the age of 60, 70, even 80, are connected. Go to the internet and listen to a singer by the name of Magda Oliveira sing at the age of 83. Listen to a singer by the name of Lily Pons at the age of 92. Okay, but these are not just phenomenal musicians and phenomenal voices. These are people that have dedicated their lives to their instruments. And you can't tell me, and I don't care to which God you pray, or if you pray, or if you have spirituality, if you are connected to the voice in the right place that goes with the territory. That means your devotion and your dedication to your music, to playing your instrument, to practicing your instrument, to working your instrument, is paramount in your life. And your family is tremendously important, and let me not make little of that, God forbid. And your life outside the voice certainly exists. But your internal vocal life must exist in a place where there is space to move, where there is power of thought, power of air, unlimited amounts of air that you never say to me, oh, I can't finish that phrase because I don't have enough air. Well, my answer is, my dear, if you don't have enough air, you are now lying on the floor and you are fainted, God forbid. So where we go, where we are, there is unlimited potential, unlimited amounts of air, unlimited power, a place where you can let go of all the physical constraints and allow the instrument to play. Magda Oliveira was once interviewed and she said, well, you want to know what I do before a performance? I put myself into a bubble. I send the bubble out into the audience, and I watch the performance. When you understand what that means, then you understand what spirituality has to do with the voice and why it is important. I wish you an absolutely marvelous year. Go and buy my book, my books, The Voice of Spiritual Approach to Singing, Speaking, and Communicating, The Kabbalah of the Voice, which is the fourth edition, and begin delving into where we're going to go in our future shows. And please share the shows, archive the shows, listen to them over and over, write to me, send me messages. I will answer all of them, I promise. Have a beautiful year. Be happy, be healthy, sing with joy. God bless. Bye-bye. See you next week.